Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for your introduction. So I'm again, after two speakers, I'm the third one from the FACE experiment, and I will talk about the... I think there is disconnected from here.
Okay.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Thanks. So as my previous speaker already presented, like atmospheric CO2 concentration is increasing, and I have shown here like from pre-industrial period until 1960, the CO2 increasing trend was very low, but after 1960 to current condition, the CO2 concentration is increasing in a rapid level, and we are currently experiencing about 410 ppm CO2 concentration. And with the IPCC predicted scenario, we are expecting that CO2 concentration will be 550 ppm by the mid of this century. So why this CO2 concentration is important to us? Because it's one of the raw materials of photosynthesis, and which is the most important reaction in the world. And so how plants respond to elevated CO2? And it's considered the current atmospheric CO2 is limiting the photosynthetic rate of C3 plants, and they will be able to photosynthesize more if the CO2 concentration increase, and which is called CO2 fertilization effect. And this CO2 fertilization effect affect the plant growth, development, and yield. So here is the one meta-analysis that shows the percent relative change of crop growth and yield parameters under elevated CO2, and this vertical line is the one-to-one line, means there is no change, but if something falls right, means we have some increasing trend under elevated CO2, and left means decreasing. So you can see here that like plant height, stem diameter, leaf area, and diameter production and crop yield are increasing under elevated CO2 compared to the ambient CO2. In addition to that, some physiological parameters like net photosynthetic assimilation rate also increasing under elevated CO2, and stomatal conductance, means the loss of water from the plant, is reducing under elevated CO2. And these two parameters combinedly increasing intrinsic water efficiency, means carbon uptake with the per unit of water loss. So plants uptake more carbon under elevated CO2 with less water, using less water. And this meta-analysis showing the crop water use at the canopy level. So that's reporting that plant can, depending on the growing condition, plant can conserve up to 20% soil. Plant can reduce the water use by up to 20% under elevated CO2. So those most of the literature were reported from high rainfall area. But what happened in the dryland Mediterranean regions, like in Australia? So in this region, people grow crop in the winter. That's shown by the first presenter of this session. So I have shown here the 7-day rolling average of difference between rainfall and evaporation for that region for two different years. So in, we can see that during the winter season, we have more rainfall than the evaporation of that area. But after winter, when spring came, the rainfall reduced, but the evaporation increased, and we have some limitation here. So this zero line, the purple line is showing the rainfall and evaporation is similar when there is no change. But in spring, we have less rainfall compared to the evaporation. And when we, in terms of wheat grown in this area, we can see that within the winter, plants reach to the stem elongation period, but when it moves to antithesis, the rainfall and evaporation difference is increasing, but plant still can survive on the stored soil moisture that was with the high rainfall during the winter. But when plants reach to maturity, or even before, during the grain period, plants are even suffering with the water scarcity. And yeah, the first graph that I've shown from the winter season, the soil looks moist and plants looks happy. But When it turns to the grain field in period, we can see the cracks in the soil, means the region is very dry and plants is suffering from water scarcity. And this phenomenon is called terminal drought. And grain yield variability in this region mostly depends on the terminal drought. So as we have seen from the previous slide, like plants grown under elevated CO2 use less water. So if some water conservation happens here during the early stage, the plant will be able to use it during the grain filling period, and they will be able to overcome the terminal drought effect. That's our intention. So we set the research question like whether plants grown under elevated CO2 really use less water, and if that happens, whether it's able to ameliorate the terminal drought effect, or the higher plant biomass that happen under elevated CO2 overcome the nullify the positive effect of water savings. We also wanted to see whether adding supplemental irrigation to create wild water condition in the dryland Mediterranean region have some positive effect on the CO2 fertilization effect. And we use different cultivars with contrasting vigor and water efficiency to see whether higher water is efficient cultivar has better performs under dryland Mediterranean regions and under elevated CO2. So as explained my previous speaker, the experiment was conducted in Australian grains free air CO2 enrichment, and we used two CO2 concentration, ambient and elevated CO2. And we for my experiment, I used two cultivars, Scout and EP. Scout is early vigor and high transpiration efficient cultivar, and EP is free tillering cultivar. So we used two water level, rain fed and well water. So I just give the amount of water that crop received during this year. So initial plan for our experiment was rain-fed will be totally dependent on rain. But if you see the amount of in-season rainfall in 2014 and 15 is like 108 and 128 millimeters, which was very low. So therefore, to maintain the plan to grow until maturity, we had some supplemental irrigation in the second column. But for the well water plant, we did more supplemental irrigation to create a better and non-limiting condition for the plant to grow there. And this is about CO2 enrichment. We used 12 meter diameter ring, and the CO2 was injected from the ring depending on the wind direction. And the wind blow the CO2, and it increased the CO2 concentration in the vicinity of the ring. And we have a good monitoring system at the center of the ring, and we're very satisfied because more than 90% time we have the target CO2 concentration in the plot. And our target CO2 concentration was obviously 550, that's the projected CO2 concentration for the mid of this century. And we did some measurement during the experimental period, of course, and the first one is the profile probes measurement. We measured the soil moisture at six different depths over the profile, and in order to have the idea of canopy development, we measured the normalized difference vegetation index by using crop circle, and also did some gas exchange measurement using portable photosynthesis system. So here's the data from the photosynthesis system. I have shown here the relationship between ambient and elevated CO2. So dotted line is the one-to-one line, meaning no difference between ambient and elevated CO2. But we can see here most of the most of the points are above the one-to-one line, and we have higher photosynthetic rate under elevated CO2 compared to ambient. And we have the lower stomatal conductance under elevated CO2 compared to the ambient. And these two parameters again turns to have higher intrinsic water efficiency because it's calculated based on the photosynthetic rate and the stomatal conductance. And this is the data from crop circle measurement. The upper two panel is for 2014 and the lower panel is for 2015. And the left panels are for Scout and the right is for ETP, and all the field symbols for elevated CO2 and the black empty symbols for ambient CO2, and what's called the round symbol is for rain-fed condition, and what's called the triangle is for well water. So we can see here we have three-way interaction, like CO2 irrigation and cultivars is came from, like under well water condition, ETP has lower NDBI value for under supplemental irrigation in the elevated CO2 compared to ambient. But for Scout, we have this river stand, and we found it only under rain-fed condition, like the canopy development was lower under elevated CO2 than ambient CO2. And this is the soil cumulative water loss data that we calculated based on the profile probes data. So we did the every week measurement, and from the six different depths, we measured the cumulative water for each profile. So by using the water balance equation from two respective weeks, it calculated the water use every week, and we measured the cumulative here. So we can see here CO2 doesn't have clear effect here, but under irrigated condition with the what's called the triangular symbols, elevated CO2 reduced the water use only under rain-fed well water condition, but not under rain-fed. If we look in the left upper panel, it shows opposite pattern, like under rain-fed condition, crops grown under elevated CO2 use more water than ambient CO2. So water savings was not, as we expected, water saving, it was not always. It was only when we had more water, or water was a non-limiting factor here. And when we look at the above ground biomass at antithesis, we can see only the photosynthesis, elevated CO2 increased the above ground biomass, and irrigation obviously have effect on above ground biomass. But as we are expecting, like under dry-led condition, adding supplemental irrigation will stimulate the CO2 fertilization effect, but we have not seen it here. There is no CO2 by irrigation interaction for above ground biomass. And same for the above ground biomass at maturity, we have not seen any CO2 by irrigation interaction or any cultivar effect. So it's just only CO2 increase a little bit, but irrigation mostly had the major role to increase the above ground biomass at maturity. And like the biomass, we have the similar trend in the grain yield. Elevated CO2 increase the grain yield. Again, irrigation had the major role in increasing grain yield, but there is no CO2 by irrigation or CO2 by cultivar interactions, means using transpiration efficient cultivar has no effect on CO2 fertilization. So in conclusion, elevated CO2 crop reduce the crop water use, but it depends on the supply of the water, and it's not consistent for all growing condition. And we have not seen any CO2 by irrigation interaction, so CO2 doesn't perform different under well water or rain-fed condition. And cultivar also didn't have any response to elevated CO2. It has a little bit in terms of NDBI, but not for biomass and grain yield. That's from my side, and I want to acknowledge Melbourne University and all the members of ACFES team. Thank you all.
Do you think the similar results that also show up in the
You mean the nitrogen limitation?
Yeah.
In our study area, we had I just present a part of the phase, but it's basic project. So we have several papers from our research groups already mentioning that even adding supplemental nitrogen doesn't have any positive effect on the CO2 fertilization. We had those trial until 50 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, but we have very recently we had increased the nitrogen supply up to 100 and 150, but we don't have the result yet to me, so I cannot say that yet. Yeah.
So you're saying even if you're adding nitrogen, you're not seeing any response?
No, up to 50 kilogram per hectare, we had not seen any positive effect. But I don't know after that, because we have very recent we have increased the rate until 150 to see whether adding more nitrogen have any effect, because 50 did not show any effect on the CO2 fertilization. Yeah.
Do you think that will have any interactive effect?
Sorry?
Do you think that adding more nitrogen, like increasing above 50 ppm, will that have any interaction?
As I mentioned, we had done until 150, but we have not done the analysis or anything of this result. And our soil was mentioned as non-limiting for nitrogen supply. We had enough nitrogen, so we haven't seen any effect until 50 kg nitrogen. I don't know after above 50 it might have, but I'm not sure about it. Yeah, we had several trials using several cultivars. I've shown here only two cultivars, but in terms of nitrogen, we have seen with other cultivars as well, but we haven't seen cultivar as a measure cultivar to respond differently. Even in the first speaker of this session, using five or six lentil cultivars, she didn't found any cultivar by CO2 interaction. So yeah, most of the cultivars are responding similarly.
What cultivar
are you talking about? I was talking about wheat.
Wheat.
No, the cultivars we tested, we have not seen any difference.
That's a good qualification.
Okay, that is the end of this session, and thank you all for coming.